Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
It's just so wonderful to see like this like family coming together. And Mark was just telling me that four of the family members were here. You know, just so wonderful. Yeah, this is like a family that we come together every week. And it's a time that we just come together and just appreciate each other and also just show love to one another. My name is Keong. I was originally born in Malaysia. And some of our friends are from Malaysia. When I was growing up in Malaysia, I attended a mission school in Malaysia. I was typical Chinese family growing up, you know, never heard of Jesus. And many ways we worship idols. But at six or seven years old, I started school. And I was sent to a mission school, La Salle. And in that mission school, as I walk in, I encountered the picture of Jesus. You know how Jesus looked like? Blonde hair, blue eyes, and with a red heart. Then I go like, wow, Jesus is a white man. So very quickly in my heart, I go like, I don't know, you know, I'm a Chinese, you know, if I believe a white person God, a white people God, then I'll be going against my ethnicity, going against my race. And that has been a big stumbling block during my first encounter with Jesus. And there will be like teachers, they are from England, and they will come in, they're usually with their suit up and usually white. And I always will be identifying Christianity is a white man religion. So that is my first encounter with Jesus. And in the village that I grew up in, the kampong, you know, there are not many Christians. There are only like maybe a handful. And most of them are always seems to have it together. They're like all proper and they speak English. We go like, whoa, you know, these are like high class people. And we are like, you know, villagers but one thing that I noticed is a lot of them are a bit stiff. You know, there seems that they have a list of do and don'ts that they need to do. So I go like, nah, growing up, I don't want to be like them. So that has been my journey. At age 17, I have this opportunity to go to United States, California. I studied there. And of course, during that time, you know, when you're 17, 18, you never think of God. You're more thinking about your career. You're more thinking about money. You're more thinking about having a good time. So that has been my journey. My first encounter with Jesus was more, in some sense, a negative connotation for me, that I would never want to do that, never want to follow Jesus. So growing up that way, and with that roadblock in front of me, I never knew that one day I'll be standing here and telling you that not only that I follow Jesus, but I love Jesus and I follow him wholeheartedly. How did all that change? Let us pray before I get started. Father, we just want to thank you for today that you have gathered us here. We thank you for new families, friends that can gather here in your name. So today, as we speak of you, as we proclaim the greatness of your name, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you touch every heart that is seated here, that they will feel your presence, that know that, Lord Jesus, you are the only one and true living God. I thank you and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going through the book of Gospel of Luke. And I title my sharing today, Encountering Jesus Always Demand a Response. My first response when I encountered Jesus as a young child was not a very positive response. So today, as you are sitting here, you are encountering Jesus. Because we are speaking the word of Jesus. How are we supposed to respond to Jesus when we encounter them. Because in the book of Mark, specifically in chapter 5 and 6, which is the text that I'll be going through, I'll be looking at three groups of people that will be encountering Jesus. The first group is the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And these are the educated, these are the ones that is following the rules of the Jewish law and so forth. And then we will look at how a paralyzed man and the crowd respond when they encounter Jesus. And finally, we look at Levi, or Matthew, the tax collector and the sinner, how he responds to Jesus when Jesus presents himself. The first one is on Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching in a house, and the healing power of the Lord was with him. Pharisees and religious scholars were sitting and listening. They were coming from all over the place to this house, and this house was packed. You know, the whole room was just full of people. And there was this paralyzed man and four of his friends. They heard of Jesus. They know Jesus have the power to heal. And he know Jesus are willing to heal. So they brought him in a stretcher or in a cloth that's carrying them. But they cannot get into the door because the house was so packed. Instead, they climb up the roof, open up the roof, and gently lower this man down. As Jesus looked up and saw this man coming down and saw their faith, he just told that young man, your sins are forgiven. That was the first word Jesus given to this young man. You know what the Pharisees says? They were not happy. The Pharisees were saying, who does he, Jesus, think he is? Wasn't that blasphemous? Who can pronounce that a person's sins are forgiven? Who but God alone? Who but God alone can forgive sins? Jesus, hearing that, gave them a response. And he said, why do you question this in your hearts? He was telling the Pharisees. Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So Jesus said, I will prove to you that Son of Man, that is Jesus himself, has the authority on earth to forgive sins. So knowing what is in the heart of the Pharisees, Jesus responded to them to say that, I am God. This is what Jesus essentially is telling them. And immediately, as everyone was watching, the house was packed. Everybody was watching the interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees. And Jesus looked at the man. The man jumped out, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. And that was the paralyzed man's encounter with Jesus. That he believed and he walked. He believed and he walked and he praised God. That was the response that this paralyzed man towards Jesus. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. Last week, Darren was sharing, and he was sharing the story, I'm sure some of you remember, about that pregnant woman, that the baby was not kicking and was dead, and he was tasked to go and pray. He prayed, and the baby now is a young girl now, right? You are saying? So when you were hearing that message last week, what was your response when you're sitting there? Were you responding saying, unbelief, saying, yeah, maybe there's some medical explanation to it. Yeah, there's something, you know, the doctor didn't catch. Or we respond saying that, hallelujah, praise God for that he is a healer. He heals yesterday, he heals today, and he will heal forever. So that was the response that the paralyzed man. So today, as you're sitting there, as you're reading the words of God, how do you respond to Jesus? How do you respond? Do you respond as the paralyzed man at the crowd that's surrounding? Or we are responding with the unbelief? Jesus is not the right God. Like me, he's a white man God. I responded negatively my first encounter. We look at the second encounter Jesus has. And that will be in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 onwards. And this time, Jesus saw Levi, Matthew, the tax collector. The tax collector during Jesus' time are like outcasts. They were hated because they work for the enemy. They work for the Romans. They'll be collecting tax, and occasionally they'll be bringing their goons around and beat people up to collect money. So they're like outcasts. Nobody likes them. So when Jesus comes and asks Matthew or Levi, "Follow me," Levi immediately did. He got up from his desk, left everything, and followed Jesus. Left everything and followed Jesus. Because he knows, Levi knows, that he's accepted. Just like I was saying earlier, when I come to this place, I felt accepted. This is a family that all of us come together, we accept it. Not because of who we are, it's because of who he is, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have him in common, that we are all accepted as brother and sister. So for Levi, when Jesus said, "Follow me," immediately he does that. And not only he followed Jesus, you know what he did next? He invited all his friends. You know, many of his associates, include many tax collectors, to his home for a large feast with Jesus. Everyone sat at the table, they're having a wonderful time. They were eating, they were partying. Hey, Christians can be fun people. You know, they're like having a good time all with Jesus. So the response that Levi had with Jesus was that he immediately knew that he needed Jesus. But the Pharisees, on the other hand, in a low voice, they were saying, "What's wrong with Jesus? What's wrong with him? Why are you eating and drinking with tax collectors and other immoral people?" Because for the Pharisees, they are seeing themselves as righteous, that I'm right, and those people are wrong. Those are unrighteous people. You are not the right people for me to hang around with. But Jesus, on the other hand, was telling them, he was telling the Pharisees, say, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. And there's the whole thing about Jesus. Every time that he encounter with people, he's bringing the good news. That I will transform your life. That I is the only one that can save. So with that said, if we look at how Matthew, Levi encountered, he knows that he is a sinner, that he knows that he needed Jesus to be saved. On the other hand, the Pharisees, they think that they can do it all on their own. They are self-righteous. They are judgmental. And they felt Jesus is not with the right people. There's only a certain right group that you're supposed to be hanging around with. So this is the response that we have seen. Not only the Pharisees think that you need to be the right type of God, you need to be the right people, but more importantly, there's a list of do and don'ts 613 rules and laws that you need to follow. So he's saying that, explain to us, the Pharisees was telling, asking Jesus, why you and your disciples are so commonly found partying like this, drinking with the tax collectors, with prostitutes, with all the outcasts. When our disciples, and even the disciple of John, are known for fasting rather than feasting, and for praying rather than drinking wine. So they are seeing themselves as being the righteous one, that I don't need anyone to save me. I can save myself. But Jesus reminded them earlier. Reminded them that you need a Savior. So Jesus was telling them, imagine there's a wedding going on. Is that the time to tell the guests to ignore the bridegroom and fast? Sure, there's a time for fasting when the bridegroom has been taken away. There's a time for it. But more importantly, when we are with Jesus, there's joy, there's peace. So every time when we come together as Mel leading worship, there's just joy in the room. All of us are just feeling the love of God in the place. It's not a set of rules, do and don'ts, but it's all about a relationship that Jesus is asking from us. With this, how you respond to your encounter with Jesus will determine the extent of our transformation. The vision of this church, transforming lives in Christ. So for every time that we encounter Jesus, it really depends on how we respond to Him. In the morning, as you're reading your scripture, as you're reading your Bible, how are you responding to Jesus? Or you're just reading it more as a duty, that, oh, it's quiet time, I have to do this. But Jesus is not asking for that only. More importantly, Jesus wanted to build a relationship with you. So that is one of the response that we need to come to. Jesus is God. Jesus saves, and He is the only way. And Jesus' way is different than our way. That He requires us to build a relationship with Him. And to respond to Jesus, we need to have a renewed mindset. And Jesus used the new wineskin and the old wineskin towards the end of the chapter to tell us how we need to be renewing our mind. And in verse 37, it says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine will burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskin. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. New wine, new way. The new way, the kingdom's way, need us to have a new way of thinking. Why is Jesus using wineskin? I went to the net and find out, how do you make wine? Wine is just basically grape juice, sugar, yeast. And there's a balloon. I go, why do you need a balloon? So they put a balloon here. So as all these ingredients go into the container, when the fermentation happened, the carbon dioxide will start coming up and it will start stretching. If you look at the balloon here, after a few weeks, the balloon will start stretching. So now imagine during Jesus' time, where they store their wine. They store it in skin, animal skin, stomach of an animal, something like this. Okay, something like this. As you pour the wine in, you know, the wine will be expanding, the new wine. And as it continues to expand, it will lose its elasticity, the skin. So now, if you pour the old wine out, and now you use the same old wine skin and trying to put new wine, what will happen? It will continue to expand, and the skin will just burst, and the wine will be wasted. So this is what Jesus is reminding all of us to follow Jesus. We need to renew how we think. We cannot be conformed to the pattern of this world, but we need to be transformed by renewing of our mind. How we respond to Jesus, we cannot be continued because we are following King Jesus, and His kingdom is the kingdom of heaven, and that will require a new mindset. And that new mindset is not the mindset of the world, but the mindset of the kingdom. So today, as we all are seated here, as we are listening to the word of Jesus, as I was sharing my story, that my first encounter with Jesus was negative, but my second encounter with Jesus was such a beautiful, beautiful journey. And I will let Darren to ask me that question later, my next encounter with Jesus. So for tonight, as I close, I would like to just, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Because indeed, Lord Jesus is here. And for those that are seeking, for those that in your heart you are thinking, who is this Jesus? Who is this living God that we are talking about? I pray today that you open your heart, you open your mind, and renew the way you think. And don't let any culture, don't let any tradition to blind you from seeing the true and living God. And for those that are struggling tonight, that I pray in the name of Jesus, when you come before Him, you know that He's a healer, that He heals yesterday, today, and forever. And He's able and He's willing to heal. For those that are going through difficult times, that I just know, Lord Jesus, is there with you every single step of the way. It really depends how we respond to Him. He loves us. He wants to build a relationship with us. He wants to walk with us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, once again, that you love us so deeply. That I thank you, Lord, that 20 years ago, that you rescued me, you rescued Kim, rescued our family. That now, that the love that you put in our heart for you and for others will grow day by day. And every single day that we come before you, we just want to give you thanks. We thank you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.